Some of you who've been at St. Matthew's for a long time will remember, where's he gone? There we are. Sister Pauline Hillier. Who remembers Sister Pauline Hillier? Oh, there's a few of us left. She ministered here for many, many years at St. Matthew's, and she supported quite a few of us who were going through troubled times, me included. She had a way of encouraging people, both in her private ministry, but also in her preaching. But Pauline might not have lived to serve God in this way. She struggled badly with poor health as a child and was unable to go to school. Her father, a trade unionist, hated Christianity and hated Christians. Her mother developed severe mental health issues and attempted to kill her. She had to lock herself in her bedroom at night so her mother didn't stab her with a knife. At one point, she was so miserable, she attempted to kill herself. No vicar would darken the door of their home because of Dad. Until one day, a new vicar called round to Pauline's home. The Reverend Charles Forrester, known affectionately as Boss, wasn't afraid of Pauline's dad. When he called, Pauline asked him a rather strange question. "You must tell me if there is a God, because if not, I don't want to go on living." That's a remarkable opening line, isn't it? Boss replied, "I can assure you, God won't mind a bit." I love his response. Through that encounter and his support, Pauline became a Christian. And through Boss speaking with her father, she was allowed to go to church. Boss wasn't scared. And today we hear about someone who did something very courageous as we continue our series, Unlikely Heroes of the Bible. And this week we are looking at the story of Miriam. In our reading today, she is ranked by the prophet Micah alongside Moses and Aaron as a leader who rescued the Israelites from the Egyptians. But what do we know about her? Well, I'm going to tell you. The first encounter, perhaps the most important part of her story, which many of us who've come to church a long time will be her role in rescuing Moses when he was a baby. We read in Exodus 1 that the Israelites were living under the tyranny of Egyptian slavery, but with God's blessing continued to flourish and grow. Paranoid about potential rebellions, the Egyptian pharaoh, the king, decreed that every baby boy should be killed. It's a genocide, we call it today. And that's in Exodus 2:22. Moses was born during this period, and initially his parents could hide him. But eventually, like all babies, he got too big. So he was placed in a waterproof wicker basket amongst the reeds in the banks of the River Nile. And Miriam, his sister, kept watch over him at a distance. We read in Exodus 2 what happened next. Then the Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to go and get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then Moses' sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went off and got the baby's mother, Moses' mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." So this tells a little bit about Miriam, doesn't it? So Miriam was fearless, but she was pretty smart. She'd come out of hiding and created a plan where her mother brought up Moses and got paid by the Pharaoh's daughter until he joined the Egyptian court. Like Pauline, Moses may not have survived, but God, through Miriam, rescued him so he could carry out his mission to lead the Israelites out of slavery. So that's the first thing we know about her. That's the first encounter in the Bible. The next encounter is in Exodus 15:19-21. Here, Miriam is explicitly called a prophet. So you might remember, following the Israelites' escape in Egypt, the Pharaoh went back on his word and sent his army to go and get them back. They got to this, it says the Red Sea, but it could possibly be the Sea of Reeds, and they got to that sea, and the Egyptians were behind them. There's a lovely verse in the Bible that said they had the Egyptians behind them, the sea in front of them. It was a kind of no-win situation, and then God parted the sea. Some of you will remember that. And then the Israelites made it through. It said there were, I think it's 100,000 men, but there was also women and children. But when they got through, the pursuers then went after them, and the waters came in, and they were all washed away. So this is what it says in Exodus 15. When Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought out the waters of the sea back over them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurried into the sea." So she was in charge of all of the bands, I suppose we put it in today's terms in our church. But she was a prophetess. The next encounter we find her, this is not quite so good. It's Numbers 12, 1 to 15. And we see it says that Miriam and Aaron began to speak against Moses because of his Cushite wife. And they say, she says, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he also spoken through us?" But it says the Lord heard this. They heard this kind of Aaron and Miriam sort of digging Moses behind his back. What they're saying in this is that they're effectively as important as Moses, as God has used them as well, has prophesied through them. But ultimately, what Miriam and Aaron, her brother, was doing was challenging the authority given to Moses by God. And for those of you who know the New Testament, there are echoes of this when the disciples are arguing about who is the greatest. Do you remember that from the New Testament? And it's a very similar kind of thing. Verse 3 is very interesting in Numbers 12. It says that unlike Miriam and Aaron, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. And he's acting as a servant of God because he understands that without God, he is nothing. You might remember when Moses was called by God. And he was very shy and had a speech impediment. And so actually God used Aaron effectively as a translator almost. So Moses came from that position of not feeling worthy. And he maintained that humility throughout his life. And the upshot of this rebellion, this sort of minor rebellion with Miriam and her brother, was that God rebuked them. But Miriam is struck down with leprosy. And interestingly, Aaron is not. Now, there's lots of commentaries about why that should be. Why was she affected and not Aaron? Well, the best explanation I found in the commentaries was that Aaron would not have been able to continue as a priest because he would have become ritually unclean. That was the kind of rules of the day. Anyway, they got Moses interceded on behalf of Miriam, and she is healed after 7 days. But the Bible tells us that after that, they broke camp and then carried on their journey through the wilderness. What does this tell us about Miriam? She wasn't perfect. She's no plaster saint, but God doesn't use perfect people. He uses willing people. Our final encounter is found when she dies. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried, Numbers 20. That's it. We don't know what happened to her after this. After she challenged Moses' leadership, it's strange that there is no mourning of her death. When Moses died, there was a massive outpouring of grief, and when Aaron died, the Israelites mourned for 30 days. So while she seems to disappear, clearly she is still remembered in equal terms by the prophet Micah in our verses today. So what can we learn from Miriam's story this morning, this brief encounter, three incidents in the Bible, one of which wasn't very good? Well, she was brave. She clearly was brave. She was clever. She was smart. And she was chosen by God to ensure the rescue of her people. Moses didn't do it alone. Aaron was there and Miriam was there. When she met the Pharaoh's daughter as part of her saving her baby brother, she would have no idea of the importance of that action. No idea whatsoever. But God had a plan for her life and she did the right thing. Now, one could argue her natural instinct was to protect her baby brother. I think we would all do that, even as children. But what stands out is her willingness to act without considering her own life and any danger to herself. So what does this leave us this morning? Well, God has a plan for each one of us, every single person. It doesn't matter how young or how old we are, all we have to do is be available, make ourselves available. We may never know the consequences of our actions for God as we follow his will for our lives. It doesn't need to be something amazing. It could be as simple as listening to someone who's going through a hard time. It could be speaking about the hope that is within each one of us and our faith in Jesus Christ. Interesting, this last week I play in a refugee and asylum seeker orchestra. I play viola in that. And I took one of the new refugees, one of the new beneficiaries. I drove him to where he lived. And anyways, we were driving along, we got talking, and he talked about his faith in Jesus. He's an Egyptian, and he's come to this country. He goes to the Coptic church, and he said, "Jesus is the most important person in my life. I am nothing without Jesus." Do you know that touched me? Here am I with everything, living in a very, very stable society. And that guy who has absolutely nothing, he's come with nothing, spoke about his love for Jesus Christ. And wow, did that have an impact on me? He doesn't know that had an impact on me, but it did. It really made me think, yeah, this is what it's all about. So this week, let each one of us make ourselves available to God for whatever he's planned for us. Like Miriam watching over her baby brother, may we be watching and waiting to act for God. Amen.